have treated Jew and Gentile. Warning Messiah, warning Yeshua's love.
Okay, stop, hold on. Both of those terms are incorrect. Let's correct this.
Judah and Israel.
One in Messiah, one in Yeshua, one in the olive tree.
Judah and Israel.
One in Messiah, one in Yeshua's love. Help us, Father, to love one another. We humble hearts, forgiving each other. Heal our wounds, bind us together, so the world might believe.
Judah and Israel. Judah and Israel,
one in Messiah, one in Yeshua's love, one in Yeshua's love.
Brothers and sisters of the tribes of Jacob, and to the Gentiles who have been fooled into identifying as Gentiles, may the divine influence be sparked within you and open your eyes to the lies of fake Christianity taught in over 33,000 denominations. This is part 9 of Gentiles. You can follow along with the article by going to www.thinkoutsidethebeast.com. Gentiles is found in the Word Studies menu. Here's a quick recap of Part 8. Ethnos means a nation, and does not mean Gentiles or non-Jew. But apparently, in Matthew, the Israelite lands are called Galilee of the Gentiles. That's kinda like calling our country the United States of Mexicans. Christ stated himself to his disciples not to go into the way of the Gentiles. But somehow, the churches twisted his arm and made him submit to letting them claim our inheritance because they believe, chose the Lord, and declared themselves saved. Even though in the Old Testament, in Isaiah, it says that the nations of Israel will be judged, and in Yahshua's name they will trust, it somehow is for the Gentiles instead. The kingdom of God is going to be taken from the Jews and given to Gentiles, even though the kingdom is only fit and measured for Israelites. Nations shall rise against nations, but it'll only be Gentiles fighting each other and not Jews. The foretold persecutions of the disciples will make them hated by all Gentiles for Christ's name's sake. And all nations will be judged when Christ returns, but not the Jews, because they aren't Gentiles. And even though Christ said to go only to the lost sheep of Israel, and not the Gentiles, he seems to be a little wishy-washy, because now he says to go to the Gentiles and baptize them too. In Mark, even though the prophecies of Isaiah and Jeremiah are spoken to and about the nations of Israel about the temple, making it a den of thieves, the Gentiles will call it the house of prayer, even though it was destroyed before the Gentiles even knew about it. In Luke, the Old Testament prophecies were about Yeshua being the light of Yahweh's people Israel, and was the consolation of Israel, and was to be the restoration of many in Israel. Somehow, the Gentiles are taking this honor. The Roman centurion's servant loved Gentiles so much he made them a synagogue instead of making it for his own Israelite kinsmen. The time of the Gentiles will be fulfilled when the nations of Israel become a multitude of nations. Well, That will never happen because the Gentiles say the tribes disappeared. The multitude was accusing Christ of perverting the Gentiles to Pilate. In John, Christ told the Jews they can't find him and cannot go where he is. They wonder if he will go to the dispersed Gentiles in Greece. But the Greek word Hellen was replaced with Gentiles, so he doesn't really know where he was going or who he was going to teach. The Jewish priests were worried that all the people will believe on Christ, and the Romans will take away the Jews' authority and occupancy and their nation, which comes from ethnos and is where Gentiles is selectively placed, showing that the Jews are Gentiles too. Caiaphas said that Christ should die so that Caiaphas's whole Gentiles perish not. Caiaphas also knew that the children of Israel were Gentiles scattered abroad. Yep, unless the churches have the authority to selectively use the term Gentiles wherever they want, this is what they must believe. But that contradicts the fake non-Jew meaning because Israelites are not Jews. It also exposes the lie that is Gentiles and the fact that the churches just make up and believe these false doctrines. Okay, let's get right into exposing more lies. Acts chapter 2. The outpouring of the Spirit, which occurred at this first Pentecost, was in fulfillment of the prophecy found in Joel chapter 2. Peter's sermon, the gospel of Christ, the promise to Israel, repent for being ignorant Judeans, because they were part of Christ's death. Many received his word. Acts is a record of how Christ affected men and redirected their thinking and their loyalties. Because of Christ's powerful influence, men's spirits changed from seeking idols to seeking truth. Acts 2:1. And when the day of Pentecost, which is the 50th day from Passover and the crucifixion, was fully come, they were all with one accord together in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, or languages spreading, like as of fire, and it came upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other languages, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Judeans, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Out of every Gentiles under heaven would make no sense. Verse 5 is not talking about nations outside of the tribes of Israel, as these feast days and appointed observances are Israelite ordinances. How many churches and Gentiles do you know that keep the feasts of unleavened bread and the Feast of Tabernacles, or fast on the Day of Atonement, or even properly observe the Sabbath and Passover, which most so-called Christians prepare ham on? These men who received the Holy Spirit were those of the tribes of Israel, again proving that Gentiles and its false meaning of non-Jew has no place in the Scriptures. The prophecy in Joel is also speaking of Israelites, not Gentiles. Joel 2:27, "And you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am Yahweh your Elohim, and none else. And my people shall never be ashamed. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my Spirit." Ezekiel 39:29 is also another witness of the Spirit poured out upon the children of Israel. Peter and John addressed by name the people of Israel and were preaching the gospel to them. The Jewish rulers were angry. Peter addressed the Jews as the rulers of the people and kindreds of the high priest, who was an Edomite Jew. Peter was having a very powerful sermon and healing a lame man, and the Edomite rulers were getting jealous. Peter addresses two groups, the rulers and those deceived Israelites following the rulers, and group two, the Israelites who kept the true faith. The Jews were getting very nervous. Acts 4:16, saying, "What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle has been done by them is manifest to all Israelites that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the Israelites, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name, Yeshua." And they called them, and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach, in the name of Yeshua. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, "Whether it be right in the sight of Elohim to hearken unto you more than unto Elohim, you decide. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." So when they, the Edomite rulers, had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them, because of the people. For all men glorified Elohim for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old, on whom this miracle of healing was showed. And being let go, the apostles went to their own company, and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. The apostles left the company of the Edomite priestly rulers, and went to their own company, Israelites. Verse 24. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to Elohim with one accord, and said, "Master, you are Elohim, which has made the sky and the land and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of your servant David has said, 'Why did the heathen rage, and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth made a stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Elohim and against his Christ,'" or his anointed. Christ does not always refer to him. It often is a reference to the group, the called out seed of Jacob Israel. The context of verse 25 is David, who was anointed by Yahweh, and it also refers to our people, who are the anointed children of Jacob, and it also refers to Yeshua, who is the anointed one. The churches, the Gentiles, the Jews, and the other races are not Yahweh's anointed. Verse 27. "For of a truth, against your holy child Yeshua, whom you have anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together." Well, the Greek reads, "For in truth they gathered in this city against your holy servant Yeshua, whom you anointed, both Herodias and Pontius Pilate, with the nations and peoples of Israel." Everyone was guilty of Christ's death, the Edomite Jews, the Romans, and even ignorant Israelites. The promise to Abraham's seed was made before he had Isaac. Acts 7:6. "And Elohim spake on this wise, that his seed should sojourn in a strange land, Egypt, and that they, the Egyptians, should bring them, the Israelites, into bondage, and entreat them evil 400 years, and the nation, Egypt, to whom they, the children of Israel, shall be in bondage will I judge, says Elohim. And after that shall they, the children of Israel, come forth and serve me in this place, the promised land." Egypt, which was once a white nation of the descendants of Ham, and supposed to be Jews because Adam was supposedly a Jew, which would make Noah a Jew and Ham and his children as well, unless you believe the churches that the blacks came from Ham. Also, remember when the Jews boasted they have never been in bondage to any man? Well, Israelites were in bondage to Egypt, Assyria, and Babylon. There is proof all over Scripture that the Jews are not Israel, that Scripture is all about Israel, and that by study of the words used where Gentiles is conveniently placed by the deniers of Christ, the lies and false doctrines are exposed. But you will never learn these mysteries if you continue to sit in your own pew on the day of the sun god under a pagan obelisk, listening to a toothless dog with no bite in the pulpit, spreading untempered mortar. The Israelites were also not in bondage in Egypt 400 years. 430 years from the call of Abraham to the giving of the law at Sinai, as attested at Galatians 3:17, and this day I say that the covenant that was confirmed before Elohim, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul that it should make the promise of none effect. Much of this 430 years is taken up in the life of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who was very old when going down to Egypt. Abraham, being 75 at the time of the calling to go to Canaan. Genesis 12:4-5. So Abram departed, as Yahweh had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. Abraham was 100 when Isaac was born. Isaac was 60 when Jacob was born, Genesis 25:26. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob, and Isaac was 60 years old when she bare them. Jacob was 130 years old when he went before the Pharaoh, Genesis 47:9. And Jacob said unto Pharaoh, The days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been, and have not attained unto the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage. Kohath, the grandfather of Moses, was listed among those who were with Jacob upon his entering Egypt, Genesis 46:11, and the sons of Levi, Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. This accounts for 215 of the 430 years between the call of Abraham and the giving of the law at Sinai. Many people errantly think that the sojourn in Egypt alone was 400 years, or they were in bondage 400 years. Joseph and his 11 brothers also did not see bondage. The beginning of transition into bondage occurred when the Hyksos infiltrated and assumed authority in Egypt. The Hyksos were not Adamites, they were descendants of Cain and Canaan, Canaanites. Exodus 1:8. Now there arose up a new king, a Hyksos Canaanite, over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. Joseph and his family moved to Egypt during the famine, 215 years after Yahweh's promise to Abraham. So the descendants of Jacob were there for 215 years before the exodus from Egypt. Remember, Abraham was 75 years old when God gave him the unconditional promise. Abraham lived exactly 100 years after the promise, and in biblical numerics, 100 symbolizes the children of the promise. Acts 8:5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them, and the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame, were healed. And there was great joy in that city. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, This man is the great power of God. And to him they had regard, because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of Elohim, and the name of Yeshua Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Simon was a trickster and a fool, and when the people heard the truth, they believed Philip. In verse 9, many of the people of Samaria were Israelites, as Samaria was the capital of the northern house of Israel. The translators chose to use the word people in this verse. Why was Philip teaching to these Samaritans when Christ said, Do not go into the city of the Samaritans? Because there were also Edomite and Canaanite Jews in Samaria, and the gospel message was strictly for the Israelites. Acts 9:13. Then Ananias, a disciple, answered Prince Yeshua, I have heard by many of this man, Paul, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem, and here he has authority from the Jew chief priests to bind all that call on your name. But Prince Yeshua said unto him, Go your way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. The original Greek reads, But the prince said to him, Go, for he is a vessel chosen by me, who is to bear my name before both the nations and kings of the sons of Israel. Verse 15 is not referring to three different groups. They are all of the same nation or race. Paul was sent by Christ to teach the nations, kings, and children of Israel of the gospel, which is exclusively for the kinsmen of Christ, the lost sheep. If it were talking about Gentiles and kings and Israel, who is left? Why not just say everybody? Because the gospel, the scriptures, the covenants and promises are only for our race, the white race, the true sons and daughters of Jacob Israel. Scripture does not contradict itself. Only when the translators change stuff do we see the deceptions, and if you don't study or don't think outside the pulpit box, then you will never see past the delusions. Acts chapter 10 is Peter's vision, which is not about eating pork and unclean animals. It's about Yahweh teaching Peter that the dispersed Israelites, which were scattered all over the Greco-Roman world, were also under the same covenant and reconciliation as the Israelites of Judea, and that by Christ's death, they were also made clean. Christ did not die so that unclean garbage-disposing animals can be edible. The unclean animals are unclean for a reason. They eat dead and dying crap, and still do. Did Christ cleanse the maggots, diseases, and decaying things too? Why don't the Judeos eat the birds that eat the dead animals off the road too? The Chinese eat cockroaches, dogs, and cats, and the Negroes eat each other. Are these things considered clean food now too? Or do the churches get to choose what's clean and unclean? Doing away with the food laws is another lie of the churches, which believe the fables of the Jews. Acts 10:21. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius, and said, Behold, I am he whom you seek. What is the cause wherefore you are come? And they said, Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, and one that fears Elohim, and of good report among all the nations of the Judeans, was warned from Elohim by a holy messenger to send for you into his house and to hear words of you. So was Peter sent to tell these men they could have a happy hog barbecue? Or was Peter educated by Yahweh concerning the lost sheep and to bring them the family message too? Also, if these Israelites were Jews, then how could the nation of the Judeans be Gentiles? They can't. Verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth I perceive that Elohim is no respecter of persons," meaning rich, poor, popular, nobody, high office, no office, your stature in life. Verse 35. But in every nation, he that fears him and works righteousness is accepted with him. The context is Israelites, every nation of the 12 tribes. Don't believe it? Verse 36. The word which Yahweh sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Yeshua Christ, he is master of all. No difference between the tribes of Israelites in Judea and the tribes of Israel of the dispersion outside Judea. They are all the same people, race, kin, and to whom the gospel is sent to. Verse 44. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision, the house of Judah, which believed, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles, the dispersed house of Israel, the uncircumcised, also was poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit. The circumcision is the house of Judah, those that came back from Babylonian captivity to Jerusalem. The Gentiles, which should read the nations, meaning the Israelites that did not return to Jerusalem, also received the Holy Spirit. This was because both houses are Israelites. The gospel was the message to those of Israel who forgot they were Israelites. Just like today, our white kinsmen in the churches are lost Israel. Israelites that have been lied to by Judeo-Christianity, which teaches that the Jews are Israel and that we are just Gentiles. Wake up, O Israel. Wake up from your slumber, and the truth will set you free. Acts 11:1. And the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of Elohim. Again, not Gentiles, it should be nations, meaning the dispersed house of Israel. The houses of Judah and Israel forgot that they were brethren after the captivity and relocations. Judah kept the laws and traditions, and Israel lost and forgot them and became pagan. The gospel is what brought them back together. Many of the Israelite Judeans did not understand this and caused contention between the brethren. Even Peter thought the vision was about food, but it wasn't. It was about Yahweh cleansing the common or defiled pagan Israelites that forgot their identity and heritage and God. Peter is explaining these things to the Israelites in Judea, and he also states that these uncircumcised, so-called Gentiles, were his brethren, or kinsmen, which can only be said of those of the same race. Humanity is not a brotherhood. If it were, God would not demand segregation. Peter continues explaining, verse 15, "And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them, as on us at the beginning. Then remembered I the word of the Master, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Two different baptisms, one by John, a Levitical priest, with water, for Christ. The other, with the knowledge and understanding of the Holy Spirit, immersed in truth. Verse 17, for as much then as Elohim gave them, the circumcised of Judah, the like gift as did he unto us, the uncircumcised, who believed on the Prince Yeshua Christ, what was I that I could withstand Elohim? The Judeans were now starting to understand that both the houses of Judah and of Israel were Israelites and kinsmen. Verse 18, when they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified Elohim, saying, then has Elohim also to the Gentiles, the uncircumcised Israelites that were lost, granted repentance, which is a change of mind or compunction, unto life. Only Israel was given the law at Sinai. Only Israel broke the law and were divorced and cast off into punishment. Only Israel was prophesied to be redeemed and reconciled. And only Israel can repent of the sins of breaking the laws that were given only to them. The covenants and promises are made only to Israelites. The prophecies of the Old Testament are about Israelites. Acts 13:19. And when he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lot. Yahweh destroyed seven Gentiles? No, seven nations, Canaanite nations. The context here are the cursed Canaanite tribes. If Gentiles were an accurate word and belonged in Scripture, then the Canaanite nations, which some of them were Jews, would be Gentiles, which, according to the added meaning of non-Jew, exposes that the Jews would be Gentiles as well. Paul was in Antioch teaching in the assembly hall to his Israelite kinsmen, as he specifically addresses them as men of Israel, states that they are the seed of Abraham, mentions Saul and David, and that John preached the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. Paul again addresses his kinsmen as men, brethren, and children of the stock of Abraham, and that to them this word of salvation is sent. In verse 33, he re-emphasizes the promise made to the forefathers, and that Yahweh has fulfilled the promise of our kinsman redeemer Yeshua to us, their children, which are literal flesh and blood, again calling them brothers. There were Jew rulers in the crowd spying on them and filled with envy and hatred, which proves the perpetual enmity of the seed of the Jew against the seed of true Israel from Genesis 3:15, which Yahweh foretold. Verse 42, and when the Judeans, the Jew rulers, were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. As was just stated in detail by Paul, these were Israelites that heard these words, not Gentiles. Verse 43. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Judeans and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the divine influence of Elohim. No Jews ever followed the apostles, the word of God, or Christ. These proselytes were Israelites. But what about the Edomite Jew Judas, which the churches have no clue Judas was the lone Jew of the bunch? He was chosen for a specific purpose, betrayal. Judas did not believe the teachings and love Christ. He was the money holder who stole money and betrayed him. Verse 44, and the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of Elohim. But when the Jews, the Sadducees and Pharisees, saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy, and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. This would have riled up and agitated the Israelites that were on the fence and were still brainwashed by Jewish doctrines, turning them from the truth, just like in the parable of the seeds that were choked by the thorns. The same thing would happen in today's churches if you were to bring them the truth. Almost all of them would think you were crazy if you tried to tell them that Jesus was not a Jew and that their whole doctrine is not that of Scripture. Verse 46, then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of Elohim should first have been spoken to you, Judean Israelites. But seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Remember Zechariah 12:7? It was necessary for Paul to bring the word to the true Israelite Judeans first, because they were of the tribes that returned to Jerusalem and preserved the law and brought in the Messiah according to the flesh. Gentiles, in verse 46, should be nations, meaning dispersed Israel. Judah was the city on the hill. They had the law, the Torah, and knew their heritage. Judgment starts at the head of the household of God. That's why the message was brought to Judah first, then to the other nations of Israel. Verse 47, for so has the Master commanded us, saying, I have set you to be a light of the Gentiles, meaning the dispersed nations of Israel, that you should be for salvation unto the ends of the land. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Master, and as many were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Prince was published throughout all the region, but the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city, and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them out of their coasts. But they shook off the dust off their feet against them, and came unto Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Christ's death reconciled both houses of Judah and Israel. Both were parties of the covenants and promises made to Abraham by Yahweh. No other people, race, or nation is part of this inheritance. Acts 14:1. And it came to pass in Iconium that Paul and Barnabas went both together into the assembly hall of the Judeans, and so spake, that the great multitude both of the Judeans and also of the Greeks believed. But the unbelieving Judeans stirred up the Gentiles, and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Two separate races of people are not brethren. Can you see how the translators did not use Gentile for Greeks, who are of the nations of Israel, in verse 1, but used it in verse 2? And remember back in the Old Testament how Greece is an Adamic nation sprung from the descendants of Javan, who are supposedly Jews because Adam was supposedly a Jew. So again, we see the Gentile conundrum exposed. Plus, Greeks, which the translators sometimes put Gentiles in place of, is from G 1672, Hellene, which means either a Greek or a Greek-speaking person. So the translators put Gentiles in place of not only Goyim in the Old Testament and Ethnos in the New Testament, but also where a totally different word Hellene is. Verse 3, long time therefore abode they, speaking boldly in the Prince, which gave testimony unto the word of his divine influence, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the unbelieving Judeans, and part with the apostles. And when there was an assault made both of the Gentiles, and also of the Judeans with their rulers, to use them despitefully and to stone them. They were aware of it, and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about, and there they preached the gospel. So the Edomite Pharisees and Sadducees agitated the unbelievers of both houses of Israel against the true Israelite believers and followers. This is the Jews' specialty. Jew backwards is wedge, and they truly are a wedge that divides our people. While preaching the word, the Lycaonians thought to worship Paul and Barnabas as gods, verse 14, which when the apostles, Barnabas and Paul, heard of it, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people crying out and saying, "Sirs, why do you do these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities unto the living Elohim, which made the sky, and the land, and the sea, and all things that are therein, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways." Again, the King James Perversion translators chose to leave out the definite article, the. It should read, "allowed the nations to walk in their own ways." Yahweh allowed the nations of Israel to walk in their own ways. Psalm 81:12. "So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels." Remember Israel wanted a man king in the days of Saul? Yahweh gave us the free will to walk righteously or unrighteously. Verse 26, "And there, from Attalia, sailed to Antioch, from where they have been recommended to the divine influence of Elohim for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come, they had gathered the assembly together. They rehearsed all that Elohim had done with them, and how he had opened the door of belief unto the Gentiles. And there they abode long time with the disciples." See, God opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. Well, if you disregard the context of the whole Bible, ignore the Hebrew and Greek words, override God's plans, covenants, and promises to Israel, believe the Jews and your ignorant preacher, and call God a liar, then yes, it would seem that Gentiles are added to the faith. But Gentiles simply means nations. And when referring to God's people, it always means God's people Israel, all 12 tribes and their descendants, which, if you are white, rejoice, for you are an Israelite. Acts 15:3, "And being brought on their way by the assembly, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles. And they caused great joy unto all the brethren." Conversion of the dispersed nations of Israel. If it were Gentiles, then they would not have called them brethren. Brethren are of the same race. Phoenicia and Samaria are provinces in which many Israelites dwelt in. Verse 7, "And when there had been much disputing about circumcision, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men, brethren, you know how that a good while ago Elohim made choice among us, that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And Elohim, which knows the hearts, bare them witness, giving them the Holy Spirit, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by the belief. Now therefore, why tempt you Elohim to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear?" Matthew 23:2, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens, and hard to carry, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers." The Jewish Pharisees were causing division again because of the law of circumcision. the house of Israel did not keep the law of circumcision because when the Assyrians and Babylonian captivities ended, most of these Israelites never returned to their land and settled in Greece and surrounding areas, becoming pagan and forgetful of their heritage, laws, and God. Verse 11. But we believe that through the divine influence of the Prince Yeshua Christ, we shall be preserved, even as they, the dispersed nations. Just because the Israelite Judeans were circumcised and the lost Israelites were not, does not nullify the reconciliation of both houses under the better covenant. Verse 12. Then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders Elohim had wrought among the Gentiles by them. And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, Men, brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon had declared how Elohim at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people in his name. God did not first visit the Gentiles and call them by his name in the Old Testament, as the churches would have you believe. They ignore the words of God and its original meanings. Verse 15. And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, After this I will return, and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the prince, and all the Gentiles, upon whom my name is called, saith Yahweh, who does all these things. Known unto Elohim are all his works from the beginning of the world. Israel is called Yahweh's works. The only people called by God's name Yahweh are the children of Isaac through his son Jacob. Yahweh states that Israel is called by his name in Numbers 6:27, 2 Chronicles 6:6, 7:14, Isaiah 43:7, 65:11, and over 120 times throughout Scripture, and in Amos 9:12, which is what James is quoting. Amos 9:10, All the sinners of my people shall die by the sword, which say, The evil shall not overtake or prevent us. This was when Yahweh punished them and had them carried off into captivity. They didn't believe the warnings and didn't change their ways, so Yahweh divorced them and cast them off. Verse 11 of Amos. In that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, and close up the breaches of Jerusalem thereof, and I will raise up its ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old, that they may possess the remnant of Adam, and all of the nations which are called by my name, says Yahweh that does this. Verse 19 of Acts 15. Wherefore my sentence is that we trouble them not, which from among the Gentiles are turned to Elohim, but that we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols, and from fornication, and from things strangled, and from blood. Only the children of Israel are ever called by Yahweh's name. When the gospel came to the dispersed nations of Israel, they turned from paganism and returned to Yahweh. If you still believe that this is talking about opening the door to all Gentiles, then you simply do not believe the original languages and manuscripts, the history and heritage of Israel, the laws of segregation, kind after kind, brotherly love, and the Word of God, and that you are willingly remaining ignorant, defiant, stiff-necked, and believing a delusion and lie, which as a result you become a sinner and deny the truth which is and has been plainly demonstrated, exposing the falsehood of the Gentile doctrine. When we believe something that is not true, especially God's Word, and would rather believe the Happy Meal lies of the 33,000 other versions of what men said God said, then we are Antichrist. Acts 17:24. Elohim, that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is master of the sky and the land, dwells not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he gives to all life and breath and all things, and have made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the land, and has determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. Blood is not supposed to be there. It was added to support universalism. The original Greek reads, "And he made from one, Adam, every nation of men to dwell upon all the face of the land, appointing the times ordained and the boundaries of their settlements." The context is still and always the generations of Adam, Adam's blood kindred, the race of Adam, as was shown in Genesis chapter 10, how Yahweh divided the clans of the sons of Adam in their lands, Deuteronomy 32:8, when the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. Genesis chapter 10 identifies the nations of Adam. The other races did not come from Adam, but the apostate churches teach this lie. Plus, if Adam was a Jew, then these Genesis 10 nations would be Jews, and therefore Gentiles. It is biblically and scientifically impossible that everybody is of one blood. That is a universalist teaching, Jewish propaganda, and the spreading of these lies by the churches. Verse 27, "That they should seek the prince, if happily they might feel after him, and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live, and move, and have our being. As certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring." The Greek has race. The word is G1085, genos, and means kindred, stock, descendant. The churches teach that anyone can become God's offspring, even spiritually. The scriptures teach that offspring are literal descendants, literal seed, literally his family. Verse 26 is correctly translated in the Greek, in that the context is always the children of Israel, the nations of Israel. All, every, and whosoever is always referring to the sons of Jacob. Just like any book or history book, the context is that of the subject, which the Bible is the book of the generations, or race, of Adam. Verse 29, "Forasmuch then as we are the offspring of Elohim, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device." The churches teach you can become a child of God's. The definitions and meanings of Scripture teach that you either are or are not born from of God. If you are not white, then you are not an Adamite or an Israelite, and this message is not for you. But you are welcome to follow any of the 33,000 denominations of fake Christianity. Acts 18:4. "And Paul reasoned in the assembly hall every Sabbath, and persuaded the Judeans and the Greeks." The Judeans and the Greeks are the Israelites of Judah, and the Israelites outside of Judah, here, living in Greece. Verse 5, "And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit, and testified to the Judeans that Yeshua was Messiah." Scripture is always clear on who the subject is. The original writings never say the Gentiles, or the church, or anyone who believes. The message is always to the children of Israel. Verse 6, "And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, Your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From here forth I will go unto the Gentiles." We are commanded in the Torah to warn the wicked and ignorant of our people to return to Yahweh and change their sinful and ignorant ways. When we do, we have done our duty towards them. If they respond, then they and you will be preserved. If they oppose, then move on. Yahweh did not choose them to hear, see, and understand. This would be the same thing today if Paul tried to reason with today's churches. They are Judaized and don't even know it, and would have him kicked out. Paul didn't then go to the Gentiles. He went to the Israelites that forgot who they were. Paul was teaching in Judean assemblies, which had Israelites of the house of Judah in the congregations, because they were the ones who had some knowledge of their heritage, of the prophecies, the Torah, and of Christ. The lost or dispersed Israelites were not attending these Judean assembly halls because they weren't practicing Israelites. They were pagans, but they needed to hear the gospel because it was for them too, not for racial aliens. The gospel message is for and to all the children of Jacob. Those of us who know and understand it have a duty to bring it to those of our people who are lost, who have been brainwashed by the churches and the Jewish propaganda, to expose the untempered mortar of ignorant and deceived so-called Christians that continue to spread these false teachings to others, which leads them into the ditch of everlasting death. You are not Gentiles. You are the innumerable children of Abraham, which have been promised great and wonderful things to those who trust, obey, and love Yeshua Christ.
Hey Abraham, look toward heaven and number the stars. If you are able to number them, so shall your offspring be. So shall your offspring be.
Which proves that they're not Jews, because they're not numbered as the stars.
So Abraham had Isaac, Isaac had Jacob. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. And Israel had many sons, 12 to be precise. And they would be the fathers of the Israelites.
Which you are too, if you're white.
They were Reuben and Simeon, Levi and Judah, Dan and Naphtali, Gad and Asher, Issachar and Zebulun, Joseph and little Benji. These are the 12 sons of Israel, God's promise fulfilled. These are the 12 tribes of Israel, through them God will bless the world. These are the 12 sons of Israel,
called Goyim in the Old Testament.
These are the 12 tribes of Israel,
called Ethnos and Hellen in the New Testament.
Save us from our sins, to save us from